Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. So, what kind of plans did you have for 2020? At this time last year, what did you envision the year 2020 would be like? Was it anywhere close to what you thought? We've arrived at a Christmas that feels like a mess. And the weather outside is just the cherry on top. So much is different. So much has changed. So many traditions have been put on the shelf right next to the elf. I'm making light of it a little, but I don't want to downplay the very real tragedy and loss that many are experiencing this December. There are many for whom the behaviors of Christmas, the cooking, the shopping, the baking, decorating, gift wrapping, and so on, are either empty or painful this year. If I just described you, I want to assure you there is nothing wrong with you. It's been an unusually traumatic year. And for every person who's latched on to the rituals of Christmas for the normalcy, there's a person who just doesn't have the emotional energy to participate. Let's be as gentle and gracious as we can to one another, wherever you may fall on that spectrum. A little understanding just might be one of the best gifts you give this year. Having said all that, it might be worth asking, should we even have a Christmas this year? My response to that question is, depends what you mean. There's really only one thing that I pray you will not set aside. There's really only one thing that I pray you will not leave in the box until next year, and that is the Word of God, specifically the story describing the birth of Jesus. The fact that you're listening right now suggests that a part of you understands that there is something about Christmas that must not be lost. That something is the report of Jesus' birth found in the writings of Matthew and Luke. This is not the year to avoid Bethlehem. We have arrived at a Christmas that feels like a mess. The first Christmas was no different. This is what I hope you will realize tonight. If we could somehow travel back in time and meet up with Joseph, I would love to ask him, what kind of plans do you have for your life with Mary? Can you imagine? You're doing pretty well for yourself. You're engaged, which is tremendously important for your family, your community, and of course, yourself, personally. But then, your fiancé reveals she's pregnant, and you are absolutely 100% sure you are not the father. Suddenly, you're confronted with a question, and it's not, what color should the centerpiece be? It's, should I divorce her publicly or privately? What a mess. What if we could travel back in time and meet up with Mary? Right after she accepts Joseph's proposal, we could ask her, how do you envision the next 12 months? Before the angel Gabriel's visit, I sincerely doubt her answer would have included an unplanned pregnancy and all the shame and sideways glances that went along with that, all the gossip and the judgmental conversations she would have overheard, the dishonor this brought to Joseph's name. There's no quick recovery from something like that. What a mess. Then, the government. The government of Rome, whose occupation of Israel was thoroughly resented, calls for a census. What this meant for Mary and Joseph was a trip to Bethlehem to register as relatives of good old King David. Practically speaking, they were looking at a 90-mile journey over uneven terrain, doing probably 10 miles a day at most. After all, Mary was, as our English translation so delicately put it, great with child. Thank you, Caesar Augustus. Let us please embark upon this trip so that you may have accurate numbers for your files. What a mess. And then they arrive at Bethlehem. The only thing that Mary would have wanted, and the only thing that Joseph would have wanted to provide, was a place to stay. Nothing fancy, somewhere warm and clean and quiet. There was only one problem. Bethlehem was small. The extended family of David, not small. They go from place to place. They keep getting turned down. Imagine the exhaustion. And finally, the desperation. As the signs point to labor and delivery, and your best option is a stable. Mary, I hope you're an animal person. Joseph, watch your step. What a mess. This was the situation into which Jesus was born. A situation of uncertainty, a situation of tension, hardship. Yet the most shocking statement in the entire account just might be verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Treasured up all these things? How in the world is that possible? Well, first of all, the baby. That swaddled boy in the manger, the little person whose name means the Lord saves. He is living proof that God keeps His promises. Mary could treasure up all these things because she believed God's word. Same could be said for Joseph. These two give us a lot to consider at the end of a messy year. Here's what I mean. Both Joseph and Mary had been visited by angels, and those angels had given them messages. And those messages enabled them to interpret what was happening to them. Things looked bad. But behind the scenes, God was up to something good. But here's the thing. Their interaction with the angels was momentary. The angels didn't stick around for 9 months or show up every day. What they left behind were words. God's words burned into their memories. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The child to be born shall be called Holy, the Son of God. These words were all they had to go on when things seemed really bad. These words were a life raft in their storm. And God was faithful to His words. He kept His promises. In time, He let Mary and Joseph see those promises fulfilled. Jesus was born. Then shepherds arrived, and that was just the beginning. But it's crucial to note that the arrival of baby Jesus did not make Joseph and Mary's immediate circumstances less complicated. If anything, things got more intense, more urgent from that point forward. And yet, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It was more than worth it to hold this holy child in her arms. He was hers. He was evidence that God is faithful. And He lived up to His name. The Lord saves. He would trade the humility of the manger for the humiliation of the cross. He became the sacrificial lamb. The offering of His life would save His people from their sins. He became the bad thing to do you good. Not only that, but He would trade His death for life at His resurrection, bringing victory over death to anyone who believes His words. I am the resurrection and the life. In a Christmas that feels like a mess, rely on God's words. They are your life raft. Trust that God is working behind the scenes to make all things new. Look for the ways that His promises are coming true in your life right now. Why not start with that baby in the manger? Would you please pray with me? O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.